Good afternoon. My name is Jared Black, in case you were wondering. Wednesday night I was asked to fill out a visitor's card. But yes, my family and I have been traveling towards the latter part of the year, and but we should be staying put for a while. At least if you ask Marissa if she's ready to go on another road trip, the fear in her eyes kind of says it all. But it was good. And then Everett last week said, hey, you're preaching Sunday night. So I don't know if that was a ploy for him to keep me home too. So anyway, okay. But, well, and I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you. And hopefully the things that I share with you tonight will be able to help you as much as it's helped me and my study with it and thinking about it, meditating on it in our walk with God. But For those of us that put together sermons and lessons and stuff, I don't know if it's just me, but sometimes whether I'm reading the Bible or life situations come up and I think, man, that'll be a good sermon, or I'll study more on that topic and think of it as a sermon. And in the recent past, I've been thinking about names, just names. And I reflected on when Marissa and I first started, we were thinking about starting our family, and so when we were starting the process and we were waiting for the arrival of our firstborn, we were debating and discussing what name we were going to use. And if you will recall, we did the old-fashioned way. We didn't find out with none of our children beforehand, and so we would have a name picked out for both genders. But it just was very interesting to me to think back on that process and think about the thought that we put in to names. When you hear somebody's name, things might come to your mind about that person. You may have memories of that person. I can remember when we first started coming here to Trenton and Mr. Kent sharing some names from the pulpit from some of his heroes of faith. And a lot of them were from Plant City, and me growing up in Plant City, a lot of them I can remember and I knew. And so it was that stuck with me, and those names, knowing those people and the lives that they lived, it was very influential to me. So, and here recently with our study in Genesis and looking through the names, I'm not one to read through the genealogies, but recently I was reading in Luke, and through the genealogy of Jesus. And again, I was just going through the names. A lot of them I can't really pronounce. And then again in Genesis, going through the names. And it just struck me interesting how you've got some names in the Bible that's all we have is a name. Some of them have a little blip about them. Some of them may have a great story with them. But for some of them, it's just a little bit. And in Genesis chapter 5, we read about Enoch. And we were talking about him in Bible class here recently. And we know that he walked with God and that God took him. But thinking about Enoch, you know, what was his life like? You know, we don't have much. In Jude chapter 1, it talks about Enoch and that he was a prophet. He was prophesying about false teachers and such. And then in Hebrews 11, and we read this in Bible class the other night, in Hebrews 11 and chapter or verse 5, it talked about by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So we could see with what little we knew about Enoch, we knew what his life was like, and just from what we knew, because God obviously took him. It said he walked with God. We talked about the Nephilim, the giants, and I know that's just a general name, but that name just stood out to me, and I know those guys probably had individual names, but it talked about them being mighty men, men of old, men of renown, not sure about where their standing was with the Lord in specifics. But again, just the name. Another one in Genesis chapter 10 stood out to me, Nimrod. And you may have heard this name before. You may have been called this name before. Sometimes it's used as a derogatory name. But in Genesis chapter 10, verse 8, it says he began, is talking of, and this was a great grandson, if I had my generations correct, a great grandson of Noah, Nimrod. And he began to be a mighty one on the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And looking into it further, if you read a little bit further down, it talks about and how he built up his kingdom, and he established the Nineveh and some of the other great cities. So he became great, and he was before the Lord. And I'm not sure exactly his stance. Secular history has a lot different skew on it, but according to the scripture, he was before the Lord. Whether or not he was following God's footsteps, it's not exactly spelled out. But another name that some you may recognize, but and if I say his name correctly, King Lemuel's mother. And if you'll recall, in Proverbs chapter 31, it was some translations call it an oracle, some call it just a dissertation that his mom gave to him. And as we all know, it was the wise words that she shared about a virtuous woman. So her, that, you know, we don't know much about her. We don't know much about King Lemuel either. But that name stood out to me. We don't even know her name, but she obviously had very good wisdom in the part of, you know, for a virtuous woman. Some other names that will stand out to you, Ahab, Jezebel, those names right off the bat usually. You know, we know what their lives were like. You don't hear too many people named Ahab or Jezebel these days. So you know that the name, the reputation there, obviously precedes itself from the history of those two. Herod is another one. All the different Herods, and we knew what evil men that they were from what we read in the scriptures. So, and then I read this quote from, and I'm not a big literary guy, but I read this thing from Shakespeare, and it came from the play Romeo and Juliet, and it says, "What's in a name that will call that which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet?" And I thought about that for a little bit, and thinking about my name thoughts, and basically. From what I, and I'm not, again, I'm not a big literary guy, but from what I could tell from that, what he was trying to get across was, is just because it's a name, it doesn't matter about the name, it's the person. And so what it boils down to, a couple of things, is, you know, in a name, it's usually the influence, it's influence and reputation, what it boils down to for my gatherings here. All of us have influence, and it can be good or it can be bad. All of us possess influence. Again, it can be good or bad. It can be rich or poor, young or old, weak or strong. And then that influence, it can be changed from evil to good or good to evil. And so with that, obviously, influence and reputation is what really builds a name. When you look at it from a value and a purpose standpoint, if you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 21, and in verse 1, we know from the preacher, from Solomon, from his good words, that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So a good name is to be desired. And that should be our hope. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and in verse 1, again, some speculate, and we have some knowledge that this also was Solomon. And in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1, it says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." So again, a good name, there's some value to a good name. A good name should be valuable. And in Matthew chapter 5, over in the New Testament, we're given a charge there. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, And in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And then make sure I have my scripture right here, in the 15th and 16th verse, it goes on, I believe, about the light of the world. Yeah, well, in 14, rather. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So again, we're given the charge to be that salt and to be that light. And it comes from our reputation and our influence. And with those, if we are the salt and we are the light, others are going to see us. Others are going to see the fruit that we're bearing. And ultimately, they're going to see our Father being glorified if we're living like we should and we're living as Christ would want us. When we have influence, when we have a reputation, it has an effect on other people. If you'll turn back to Matthew 12, or over to Matthew 12, and in 34, starting in verse 34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So we influence people in what we say and how we speak. And over in Philippians chapter 1 and 27, here Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So it's in what we do, our reputation, and the things that we do. Back in John chapter 13, Jesus here is talking to his disciples, and he's talking about how we are to love one another. And in John 13, starting in 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's a very important one. So many times I hear brothers and sisters in Christ, and when they're talking about one another, you would think they were talking about somebody of the world. But unfortunately, sometimes we have that attitude towards our brothers and sisters, and that shouldn't be. So that's a very important thing. When it comes down to our reputation and our influence, we should be more like Christ. We should love one another, and it should be through and through. In James chapter 2, it goes into about our faith. James chapter 2 and verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And if you go back in the first chapter, here it's talking about faith, but then it also talks about, you know, the ebb and flow with faith and with works. They both intertwine with one another. But back in the first chapter of James in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So not only, you know, our faith, not only should we show up here for services, not only should we be studying daily, but we need to be practicing what we preach, for lack of a better term. We need to put it into practice and be the light, be that salt in our everyday life. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And this, it's in the spirit that we manifest and how our influence, how we influence others. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. And then over in chapter 2, starting in verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor deceit was found in his mouth. So again, it's in how godly or how ungodly we are, how we influence others. And here, mentioning Christ, you know, the mention of Christ here made me think about, John was asking me tonight for a scripture reading, and I teased with him. I said, I'm not really going to use any scriptures. But then tonight, when the scripture was being read, it would have really fit. There in chapter Philippians 2, and talking about Christ, there 2 verse 9, therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. And so when he was reading that scripture tonight, and I keyed in on that, the name part there, and what better name than Jesus that we have, and an influence on other people. Not only while we are living, but also after we die, our influence will be continued on. In Hebrews chapter 11, and we read this, this was mentioned the other night in our discussion about Cain and Abel. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. So obviously his influence was still even among the Christians here in this time when the book of Hebrews is being written, and through, I can only imagine through the tradition of the Jews that they were still talking about, and they still have knowledge of his influence and his name. And then in Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So, in how we live our life and how we conduct ourselves, if we're in Christ, hopefully we'll have that legacy left. And as we go on beyond this life, and those, if the Lord hasn't come before that, those that are still here, our legacy will still be there. Our life, our name will still be there. We'll still be living on, and our influence will still be felt. Another influence after we die, sometimes it can be in the life of parents. You know, there's a lot of parents in this building. There's a lot of children, and there's a lot of people that no longer have their parents. But if you think back of your parents and their life and the influence that they had over you, whether both good or bad. But we're in Ephesians chapter 6, we're given as parents a challenge. And in Ephesians 6, and beginning in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may dwell with you and you may live long on the earth. And granted, yes, this scripture is talking about children and how they should obey their parents. But as parents, it's our responsibility to be bringing them up in the way of the Lord, to give them that opportunity to obey and to learn from right from wrong, to have that good name, to have that good reputation, to have that good influence on others. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, we all know this scripture. In verse 19, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And I know I've shared this before, you know, in studying these scriptures prior to becoming a father, the only thing that I could come up with or relate to was being on the opposite end of it, being the child. But it means so much more now, and I'll tell you, those that haven't become parents yet, it probably will become more real to you. But when you become a parent, the grave responsibility, it's so much more real to you. Hopefully it will be, as it has been to me. But the influence that I have on my children, that I should have on my children, and whether good or bad, and hopefully more the good. But we've got good examples here to go by, but we also have the Bible to always lean on. We also have God as our, he's laid out the blueprint on how to do it. So hopefully as parents and as children, we will continue in our influence towards others and our families. We have influence on our friends and on our neighbors, and that's going to live on even after we die. You know, I've seen where situations where people died and the house was sold, and been in situations where to help clean out a house or move out stuff, and neighbors come over and they would talk about that neighbor, and there's, you know, it was revealed, you know, people's, you know, your real life is, the world is watching us. And so your real character can be seen by your neighbors. And so from those experiences, it's been both negative and positive. But mainly it's been the positive. People usually share either funny stories or good things and how that this person or that person was a good influence and their name lived on. And we read in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16, you know, the world sees us. And it's that light that we should be shining before men, and that to see our good works, and ultimately, again, to bring God the glory. And in closing, I want to leave you with this. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 15. Again, the influence that we have should be known by our fruit. So in John chapter 15 and verse 8, starting in verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, and I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." So in our influence, hopefully, we will be known by our fruit and how we live, our reputation. So I ask you tonight, what's in your name? Is your influence good or is it bad? I'll give you a couple of other names to think about. Peter and Judas Iscariot. When you think of those names, they both had the choice after they both denied and betrayed our Lord and Savior. They had the choice of how they would react to that situation and how their names would go down in history. So I ask you tonight, will you repent or will you commit spiritual suicide and be lost? And so many times when we close services and close these lessons, we offer the invitation. And as it's been said oftentimes, it's not our invitation. It's God's invitation to come to know him. We have that influence every day. And we can, and as I mentioned before, we can change that influence. And so if maybe you're in a situation where you're not being the influence, being the salt, being the light, you have a bad reputation, there's time to change that. And so don't wait too long before it's too late to change that influence. Maybe you need more time to study with others, or maybe you have a lot of questions or whatever. Just ask somebody. Don't sit around and let the years go by and time go by before you make that decision. But what's in a name? It's our reputation, and it's how we live our lives. And hopefully, if you want to change that, hopefully you have the courage to come. Maybe you don't have the courage to come forward right now. That's okay. We just offer it as a convenient time when we're all here. But contacting any of us, you know, morning, noon, or night, for whatever the reason may be. So hopefully these things will be able to help you in your walk, as I said. But if you have any need, the gospel calls for you right now. So if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.